This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 7th of November, 2025. Thanks for listening today. The HAT podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online at ffbt.com. Coming up in the news today, CJ Miller and Greg Allen with stories, including the Ag Secretary. She is excited for a USDA move to the Indianapolis regional hub. And you'll meet the new National FFA president. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin will update changing weather patterns coming to the Hoosier State. And yesterday was a rough day in the corn, bean, and wheat markets, along with equities and livestock all selling off. We'll have final numbers and Carl Setzer market commentary on the HAT Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
There's something to be said about being early. You get a better place in line, maybe a better seat at the table, and sometimes being early will save you money. Like when you order seed early from Seed Genetics Direct. Place your order for the next growing season with Seed Genetics Direct by November 10th, and you'll save $10 per unit on corn and $2 per unit on soybeans. It's time to leave the nest, early birds, and visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to order. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
A USDA hub in Indianapolis and FFA's new president. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Greg Allen. Attention high schoolers, join Keystone Cooperative at their Mount Summit branch on November 11th to learn about career opportunities after high school. Visit KeystoneCoop.com/seed for details. Indianapolis will soon be home to one of five new regional hubs for USDA, and U.S. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins says she's excited for the move. C.J. Miller has more.
We serve the farmers and the ag community. Why do we have thousands and thousands of people in Washington who've never stepped foot on a farm before?
And that was Secretary Rollins last week during her visit to Indianapolis, when the Trump administration announced it was looking to move many of USDA's employees out of Washington. A group of Indiana ag leaders made a visit to Rollins' office back in June to sell her on the idea of moving USDA to Indianapolis. She said that meeting and their sales pitch definitely worked.
I want to give a big shout out to Don Lamb, who was part of a contingency that came to talk to me a couple of months ago about this and made an extremely compelling case about how important Indianapolis is and what just a mecca of research and industry and talent and intellect and farming that is here in this part of the country. So it became a pretty easy decision for us. We're excited to get USDA to Indianapolis.
Aside from the proximity to Purdue University and other major ag businesses, she added that Indianapolis made sense for USDA because of its central location to many of America's grain and livestock producers.
30 minutes from here, I was on a soybean and corn farm before I came here this morning, and I was harvesting. I was driving the combine, and that is what the vision is for USDA. How do we get out of Washington and get where we can better serve the American people? So I couldn't be more excited, and I'll be here a lot because of that.
Rollins said that further details on USDA's move to Indianapolis will be coming in the next 30 to 60 days. I'm C.J. Miller.
This year's National FFA Convention broke records, drawing more than 73,000 members, advisors, and guests, the highest attendance in FFA history. Thousands of blue-jacketed members packed the convention hall, eagerly awaiting the moment six new leaders were revealed. Leading the team is Trey Myers of Oklahoma, who will serve as National FFA president.
I hear Oklahoma called. From that point, I kind of blacked out a little bit. I don't remember everything. Someone told me I put my hand over my chest, so I guess I did that. I started taking off, and the floor was super slick. I start sliding all over the floor, and it was just kind of crazy. I get up on stage, and I couldn't stop. So I run into this group of people, and I headbutted JL on accident. Sorry, JL. But yeah, just an unreal moment that I will absolutely never forget.
Joining him are the new National Secretary, Lily Nyland of Michigan, Eastern Region Vice President Joey Nowotny of Delaware, Western Region Vice President J.L. Cruikshank of Oregon, Southern Region Vice President T. Wayne Williams of Tennessee, and Central Region Vice President Claire Whipple of Nebraska. These young leaders will travel the country in the coming year, inspiring more than 1 million FFA members nationwide to grow their leadership, build careers in agriculture, and live out the organization's motto, learning to do, doing to learn, earning to live, and living to serve.
In humility, how can I place other people's interests above my own? That's my whole, not only goal for this 12 months, but my goal in life is how can I be the person that is more concerned about the needs of other people than my own personal gain. So my one goal throughout this year is just be more focused on someone else's needs than my own.
From the record-breaking crowd in Indianapolis to the bright future ahead, FFA's next chapter looks golden and blue. Find these stories and more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Now on the Hat Podcast, Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Got a big change that's working through the area over the next couple of days. As we talk through it here, let's see what's going on. Over Indiana today, keep the umbrella handy. Rain showers moving through. This is a front that's been well advertised. We've been on it since early on this week. The front's going to be moving through mostly during the morning. We actually started to see the activity move into northwest Indiana just near or after midnight last night. I think by midday to early afternoon, most of the moisture is going to be done up north. As a matter of fact, we're going to start to clear from northwest to southeast in that mid-afternoon time frame. Everybody clearing out by sunset tonight. Then we are dry through for the overnight through most of Saturday tomorrow. There is a little bit of a cooler air mass coming in. After all, this is a cold front that's working through today, but we're not seeing the brutal cold just yet. Winds are still mostly westerly. Clouds will be increasing late tomorrow afternoon, and around sunset, again, we start to see moisture push into west and northwest Indiana. Low pressure dragging right across the heart of the state through the early morning hours Sunday and getting into Ohio by probably Sunday mid-morning. Wraparound cloud cover and moisture lingers through midday Sunday, and then basically the moisture is one thing. We can see a few hundredths to maybe half or three-quarters of an inch on a Sunday morning out of that second system, but it turns around and opens the door to the Canadian Arctic. Strong north winds coming down across the Great Lakes, so there's going to be clouds that stay all the way through Sunday, even if the bulk of the precipitation around that low is gone. Clouds are going to be over most of the state, and a lake effect really ramps up with these north winds. They're going to be coming straight down the fetch of Lake Michigan. So clouds in northern parts of Indiana for sure, getting into central and southern Indiana as well. But the lake effect, I think, is mostly a northwest Indiana thing. Rain, and once we get into the overnight for sure, wet snowflakes can be flying up there. It's going to be a bit of a mess. And the strong winds continue through Monday, and they start to die off finally on Tuesday. But I think we've got lake effect cloud cover that we have to deal with through a couple of days, and probably in northwest Indiana, lake effect precipitation. How far south can those lake effect wet snowflakes get? Well, with the strength of these winds, they can get farther south than maybe you would think. I'm looking more at spits and sprinkles again during daytime hours. Wind chills are also going to be a story for the early part of next week, with temperatures now only topping out in the mid-30s to near 40 and 20 mile-an-hour winds. Yeah, you figure it out. We're going to be down in the teens for the way it feels. So look out. Now, as fast as this cold push comes in, it leaves. On Wednesday, we get on the backside of that circulation, and we see strong west and southwest winds develop. We bounce right back up. We're mild for the rest of next week, and we're also dry. Once that lake effect gets out of here, we don't see any significant precipitation until maybe a few hit-and-miss showers overnight next Saturday night into Sunday, late the 15th into the 16th. That draws down a little bit of cool air again, but we're mostly dry for a large part of the week of the 17th as well. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin. Bundle up.
As harvest winds down, it's decision time in farm country. Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance is here to help Indiana farmers make smart, timely choices about nutrient management. Because viable farms, healthy soil, and clean water start with informed decisions based on vetted practices. Backed by Indiana's commodity groups as well as conservation and ag industry leaders, IANA is rooted in empowering farmers to improve nutrient use efficiency, enhance soil health, and protect water quality to drive farm success and protect our natural resources.
On the Hat podcast, we have a retirement to announce. One of our longtime market analysts, Mike Silver, stepped back from contributing to Hoosier Ag Today some months ago, and we can announce that he is retired. Mike has dedicated his life to agriculture, and the proud Purdue grad, a great friend to all of us here at Hoosier Ag Today, has also dedicated his life to Indiana agriculture. For many years, he was involved in the Agribusiness Council of Indiana, even serving as its president at one point. Mike's market commentary while working for Kokomo Grain usually aired in this spot on Friday mornings during our Hat podcast. And when he told me he thought he should step away, I told him we would keep that door open if he decided he wanted to get back to it. But retirement has come calling, and Mike deserves the very best, and that is our wish for him. We do miss those weekly chats, though. Thanks for all the insightful commentary, Mike Silver, and thanks for a lot of laughs, too. A sell-off on a risk-off day. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. Final numbers coming up. We start with market analysis from Carl Setzer of Contas Ag Consulting. I checked in with Carl at the end of the session. A bounce-back day on Wednesday, but Thursday, another reversal. And Carl, the markets not only went lower, they were extremely weak in the case especially of soybeans and wheat, and the stock market for that matter. So you look around and you see pretty much a risk-off day, probably a number of factors.
Yeah, we had several factors that lined up today and weighed on this market. And I'll start running through the shopping list of them here for us. Number one, the uncertainty over the Chinese trade agreement that we had last week. China was in, bought 7 vessels of soybeans, 3 of them before the announcement of the agreement, 4 afterwards. It's been crickets since. And then overnight, we got an announcement that COFCO, China's state grain buying company, had signed a trade agreement on soybeans, but we have no idea who it was with or the volume. Obviously, not the United States, or we would think we would know about it. So a little bit of a setback coming from that. Also, the fact that China buying Brazilian soybeans along with the U.S. soybeans in a greater volume, a little bit concerning there over the entire trade agreement that was put together. By the rumor, sell the fact case developed in the wheat complex here today, Andy, and that came after China announced that they had bought 2 vessels of U.S. wheat overnight. That business was rumored last week. The verification of it took away some of the bullish momentum out of that wheat market, a correction to the U.S. drought and the plains and some building soil moisture also weighing on wheat during today's session. Corn taking a hit today, although corn didn't have that much for negative news. We just didn't have any buyers jump into the complex to give us support there.
It's pretty apparent headlines are driving markets or impacting markets, and a positive headline could certainly change the fortunes, it seems.
Yeah, and we really need to get one here pretty quick. The stock market turning around a little bit today, and this is coming off the tariff news that in front of the Supreme Court, it doesn't appear as though President Trump's tariffs are going to hold up. There's a strong opposition coming out of that court. If those are removed, that removes removes a lot of the buying power that we thought we had in this market. A major correction in the stock market today, a major correction in the grains, also hitting the livestock complex pretty hard. One positive sign of this, Andy, is it does make us very much in line with the global market. I wouldn't be too surprised if we didn't see some buying interest perk up after today's break.
Harvest is really winding down, mostly complete for so many. Some thoughts from you, Mr. Carl Setzer, on how the harvest season has gone in 2025?
It is in the downhill slide. We figure nationwide there's probably about 5, maybe 10% of the soybean crop left to get. Corn crop less than 20% less in the fields. One thing that I have very much noticed is the high variability, and it seems like every year we talk about this, but it seems the variability has been even more in recent years. Two things we're going to eye pretty closely this year: the Iowa crop after the big losses in corn and reports that the state didn't fill some of its elevators. Also, areas of concern in southern Michigan all the way through the eastern Corn Belt. Very dry soybeans actually likely leading to some loss of production there. Next Friday on the 14th, we'll finally get a WASDE update. I expect trade to kind of sit back and wait for that release to come out before we really get too carried away with these market moves.
Thoughts from Carl Setzer of Consus Ag Consulting. Carl's number is 989-506-1587. Thursday settlements here on the Hat Market Review, 6.5 lower on both December and March corn. Dece, 428.75. March settles at 443, 28 cents lower. November beans, leading markets down. 10.91.75. January 11.07.5, 26.75 lower. And December wheat 5.35.5, down 19.25. The meats lower, even though live cattle futures started on the plus side. December live cattle, though, ending down $1.75 at 218.77. December lean hogs 78.97, down 162. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.